Kolos HaMishnayis with you. We're doing the third parak of Sukkah, Lulav HaGozel. So it goes through all of the Arba Minim. It's known as the parak of Lulav HaGozel because that's the way the parak starts. But really it speaks about all the Arba Minim, and they have similar qualifications. Lulav HaGozel, VaHayovesh, Puzzle, the Lulav stolen is puzzle, and there's a Psu of Lachem, and also the Gemara speaks about a concept of Mitzvah Baba Avera. Yovesh is puzzle because it needs to be Hadar, or because that can't live on Veyu. And then Shal Asher Veshal Iran Nidachas. Asher means something that they worshipped it as Avodah Zarah, and Nidachas means it's a city that has to be burnt down because the entire city was doing some sort of Avodah Zarah, so that everything in the city has to be burnt. Those are puzzle because of a concept called Ktuti Mechse Shiur, which means that because they're Lesreifa, they're going to be burnt, therefore it's as if they don't have a Shear in them. Niktam Roishoy, these are, you know, the classic psulim, Nifritzu Olav, and all those things, and Nifritu Olav, like if the branches are cracked, so then it's puzzle. Nifritu Olav, it's still kosher. And Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, you should tie it on the top, Yagdenu Milamala, because Lulav Tzorach Eged. Or because in this case, he's going to say it's Tzorach Eged, so it should look like all the other Lulavim. Now we speak about different types of lulavim and how big a shiur lulav is. Lulav has to be 3 tvachim and kedei l'nanea, just as in the Mishnah kedei, but it means also n, which means it has to be 4 tvachim altogether. Then the Mishnah goes on. Mishnah Bay speaks about hadas, which has similar psulim. You know, obviously there are some differences. Like for example, you know, by hadas we speak about berries because hadas has berries. If enough of removing the olive, then it's pasul. We don't have that by a lulav. Now we speak about an arava psula. Arava, Gzula, and Yavesha, whatever it is. So we went from Lulav to Hadas to Arava. The last thing we're going to end up speaking about is an Esrik, because Esrik is not part of the Igud. It's not. We don't put it into the the mix, or they're not. It's not part of the Aguda. That's what I was looking for. So Arava also has similar psulim as before. Just over here, it has psulim as to the shapes of the leaves. It speaks about also if the leaves are very, very moist or whatever it might be. Tzaftzafaz, if it's round, it's not good. And the rest of them are similar, and that's Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah Dalet speaks about how much you need in the whole Igud. You need 3 Adas and 2 Arovas, 1 Lulav. And it even talks about the Esrig, even though we haven't even introduced the Esrig yet. You need 1 Esrig. And then we speak about what happens if some of them aren't perfect. But the halacha is, in the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which is not that well known, is Rabbi Akiva says, look, just like you need 1 Lulav, 1 Esrig, you only need 1 Hadas, 1 Arava. Obviously, we don't do that. We have the 3 Hadassim and the 2 Aravas. Now, the next Mishnah is where we introduce Esroigim, and we speak about Esrig, Gazal, and Yavesh, and those psulim which are similar to what we spoke about before. We speak about another psul of Arla, because an Esrig is a pre, so that's also puzzle. Then we talk about afterwards in Mishnah Vav, speak about all the different details of an Esrig. Chazazis, if it has bumps, if it, the pitum came off, if it gets peeled, if it has any types of the ukets gets taken off, if it's missing even a piece, nikev, anything like that. Esrig akushi we speak about. Now we speak about the end of the Mishnah, speaks about yarika karsi, which means it's very, very green, or it hasn't actually fully ripened. Rabbi Meir is machshav Rabbi Yehuda pasuls, and I believe that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Now the next Mishnah is Zion, speaks about the sheer Esrig, the smallest Esrig you could have. Rabbi Meir says the size of an egos, that's quite small, a nut. Rabbi Yehuda says the size of a beya, that's definitely larger. Now what's the largest sheer that a person can have? So there also it's a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda says something you could hold in both of your hands, and Rabbi Yehuda says even one in, no, I'm sorry, shnayim biyado achas, two in one hand, and Rabbi Yehuda says even if it's one in two hands. Anyway, so the next Mishnah Ches speaks that what can you be ma'agad lulav with, what can you bind it together in? So it says, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be only mina, which means you have to use something that was part of the igud, because min mina in a chaitzit. Rameir says no, even if you use a string, or anshe Yerushalayim would use gumiyah shel zav, they would use gold, and according to one opinion, the gold was they say back to him was only on top, and it was on the bottom they would use minoy, so that's where they would actually hold it, and on top was that. Now where would you be manana, where would you shake? So then we get into the discussions of the nanuim and of howl and all that stuff. You speak, you shake by hodul Hashem and on Hashem Ashiana and on Hashem Aitzlichana according to Beis Shammai. Bisil says not. And then a person that comes and he didn't have his lulav in his hands, so when he gets his lulav, he should just shake it where he is. That's that. Kol yom kasher lulav, the entire day you could shake. Now, what about a person who's a? Now we continue with the halachas of halal. If a person doesn't know how to read halal, he has a woman or an eved reading to him, it's quite embarrassing. It's not necessarily we frown upon that. But if that's what he has to do, that's what he has to do. And if he was a, and if a gadol would meet him, so then he just answers afterwards, Halleluka. That's why we have all the Halelukas in the Hallel. That's like as a response to the Hallel. Now, there are places where there's naik to repeat certain words, and we know that in our Hallel. When a person has that minig, you should do that. And when it's not the minig, you shouldn't do that. And we have already an established minig for basically all of Kali Yisrael, but I'll call it minig HaMedina. Now, we're pretty close to the end. Now, we speak in the end of in Mishnah Yud Bey speaks about the din of that. Back in the day, the lulav was taken in the mikdash all 7 days and everywhere else only one day, but one day basically was destroyed, so we were misakin that you should do it all 7 days, Echel HaMikdash. And also the Yoman of Kula Asa, that we should, hopefully when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, very soon we'll all know that we're supposed to shake it 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we speak about if Yom Tov Rishon falls out on Shabbos, so then what do you do about your lulav and stuff like that, and where do they put their lulav, and how do they deal with the fact that different people might end up taking other people's lulav if he placed it there beforehand, and then they would pick up the lulavim? That's Mishnah Yud Gimel. Mishnah Yud Dalet also speaks about Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag that falls out on Shabbos. That if he took it out by accident, carried it, Mishnah Sarabim, what's the halachas? And the last thing we speak about, the last Mishnah Tesvav, is the end of this perek, a woman can take from her husband or from her son and return it into the water, which means that technically if you have your arba minim, you want to put it back into your towel, and it's a moist towel, it's not a problem. You could do that. I just spoke to Rabbi Wiener just to get the halachic okay with that, that you could do that. And you could also change it in a cut in a cut in lulav when he knows how to shake. We just finished the third parak in Chazor. We did it very quickly, but tomorrow, Beli Neder, we are going to do the fourth and fifth parak of Sukkah, and we will finish Maseches Sukkah. And after Yom Tov, we are going to start with Maseches Seder Nashim. I'm very much looking forward to doing it with all of you, my dear friends. Make it a great day.